Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio by Craig Burley and Ali Moreno. Later on, we'll be reflecting on Barcelona, booking a place in the quarterfinals of the Champions League. But we'll kick things off in London. Arsenal taking on Porto. Porto heading there, of course, with a 1-0 lead. Arsenal expected, though, to comfortably turn that round. They didn't. They would open the scoring in the first half. Nice ball from Odegaard would find Trossard to open the scoring. But Arsenal never really looked like, particularly, getting that second goal, even through extra time. So we go to penalties. Arsenal would score all of theirs. Reyes will save two of Porto's, meaning it is Arsenal through to the quarterfinal draw. For more on this, we welcome in Gab Marcotti. We'll hear from Gab in a moment. Craig, how do we get to this?
Well, over the two legs, Arsenal could not find the kind of form they have found in the Premier League. And maybe for various reasons. One, the pressure of the Champions League. And two, Porto gave a sterner test to some of the garbage, let's be honest, that are down near the bottom of English Premier League and who have sort of been rolled over, the likes of Sheffield United and others. And I think, you know, the physicality of Porto, the experience they have in this competition, and they made it really difficult for Arsenal. And for Arsenal's point of view, I don't think in either game they really found that mojo or momentum that we have seen in the domestic league, where they've been absolutely fantastic recently. I mean, don't get me wrong, they have been playing out of their skin, arguably up until that Liverpool performance at the weekend against City, arguably had been playing the best football. But we did not see that over 180 minutes. But a win's a win. Doesn't matter how you do it. But play like that against the better sides in this competition, they'll go out.
And I think that's a point for Mikel Arteta and Arsenal, that this has to be a learning experience and understanding that it's going to take a whole lot more in order to make a deeper run in this competition. What we saw from Arsenal today, and really in the first leg as well, is that they never actually match their level of play. They never play like the Arsenal that we're used to seeing. The speed of the game was slower. The possession was slower. A lot of sideways and back, not enough verticality in the game, not enough trying to get in behind Pepe, not enough trying to exploit the lack of speed in that back line from Porto, not enough of challenging Porto defensively, and a lot of it from Arsenal became very predictable. And so, yeah, to the point that Craig was making, the know-how and the experience of Porto shows up and said, we're going to slow it down. We're going to foul. We're going to take the rhythm out of the game. And the onus and the responsibility is on you, Arsenal, to speed it up, to find the rhythm, to try to challenge us defensively, and they never really did that. It was really surprising in the extra time how much actually in the first 15 minutes of the extra time that Porto had the ball. Porto was the team that actually was keeping possession and taking the game forward. Not with a whole lot of danger, not with a whole lot of purpose, but we didn't see enough of Arsenal truly pushing Porto. And that's not just true for the first 15 minutes of the extra time. We just didn't see the best version of Arsenal. If indeed they're going to go deeper in this competition, they have to get better.
Why didn't we see it? Was it just because it was the Champions League? Because it was Porto? Because of the experience? Because you looked at the likes of Saka had a stinker today.
Well, it's the Champions League knockout stages. These teams are better. Whether we think Porto are ever, you know, capable of going and winning it or whatever, these teams are better than, you know, most teams in the Premier League, right? Not obviously you've got the top guys spending the big bucks, but not who Arsenal are facing sort of most weeks. When you look at, you know, outside of the top seven or eight, you know, Porto are a sterner test than that. They're more experienced. They've got some good players, and they know how to game manage. So, and on top of that, there's the expectation that this Arsenal side, let's be honest, although they haven't been over the course in this competition, certainly this group of players, there's an expectation that they could be good enough to really give everyone a test in this competition this year. So there is a pressure on this Arsenal side. And they did find it difficult. And I have to give Porto a lot of credit. When you look at how Arsenal have played domestically, when the fact that they've beaten Liverpool, they've beaten City this season, a lot of people's favourites to go on and win are certainly strong favourites. Porto have given them a real test over 180 minutes plus the extra time.
So 110 minutes.
All right, good math, Dan.
So I give them a lot of credit. And look, Arsenal, they're in the hat. They got away with one to a certain extent. Penalties, it can obviously go anyway.
Yep.
You can't argue with that. But Mikel Arteta knows that they will need to play better now that they're in the quarterfinals.
Gab, are you surprised this match over the two legs played out in the way that it did?
I am surprised because, you know, let's not forget, I take on Porto a big European name, but this is not a team that's having a good season, right? Earlier in the season, you know, the fans actually attacked a car that Sergio Conceição and his son were in. That's how angry they were. You know, we're used to them being first or second in the Portuguese league. That's not the case. They lost some big pieces over the summer. They had some, you know, they had a couple starters missing, which is why you saw Tavio in there. You know, in the end, this is a team with a small wage bill. And of course, a 41-year-old, albeit Pepe, at the back. But I just think Conceição won the tactical battle over the two legs against a better opponent. And I think to some degree, this is maybe on Arteta. I mean, I don't want to nitpick when you advance, but this has to be a learning opportunity for him too. You know, you have five subs, and yet you make your first substitution minute 83. That I think that also sent the message that, hey, we're okay with penalties, which may explain why, you know, as Ali said, Porto look better in extra time. These are all little things. I think this is a very young team that's going to grow. Porto, by the way, by no means an old team either, Pepe aside. So put these things together. Be happy that you advanced. Maybe you were the better team over the two legs. And use this in, you know, use this information to help you be more effective in this two-leg format, whoever you face next.
David Raya, who we were critical with because of the goal in the first leg in Portugal, redeemed himself, didn't he, today in the penalty shootout?
Well, I always feel there's not... The pressure for me is always on the penalty taker to an extent. Although the Porto keeper, I believe they were studying the notes before the penalties and dived the wrong way every time. So whether he was reading them the wrong way around or whatever he was doing. But yeah, no, look, I always like taking penalties against a keeper who is not a huge presence, and he's not a huge presence. That being said, I'm not sure he gets maybe a flick on this one, but there's certainly a huge element of luck.
It's just a little touch, isn't it?
But the second one, he's read it well. As I say, it was telegraphed. Once he opened the body up here, you can see he's going to side foot it. So yeah, gets the job done. And he'll be the sort of hero. I'm not rolling him into the Arsenal Goalkeeping Hall of Fame just yet for saving a penalty, but a good job, well done. And there is Aaron Ramsdale to congratulate him. But yeah, it was a tough night for Arsenal, there's no doubt about it, but quarterfinals, here we go, and their great season up to now rolls on.
And to the point of David Raya, though, I think he needed a moment like this. I think he's been looking, maybe he won't say it, of course, in public, but he's been looking for that moment of validation that I was given an opportunity by Mikel Arteta, which at the time was a decision that we criticized, and now here I come in a big moment and are able to answer the call. Absolutely nothing to lose for David Raya in a penalty kick shootout or for goalkeepers in general. I agree with that. But I do think that this is a big moment for him and one for Mikel Arteta that would say to himself, see, I told you, this guy was the answer all along. The truth of the matter is that, yes, David Raya came up with the save today when it was needed, when Arsenal needed it the most, because they were just as close to going out than they were to advancing. So, yes, I think a big moment for David Raya and Arsenal overall.
Are Arsenal in the conversation to go all the way, Gab?
Well, honestly, I look at this and I say, why not? I mean, I think I've said this before, not rocket science. Manchester City are the best team in the competition. Other than that, I think there's four or five teams that are comparable. And, you know, if at this, again, at this stage, make the point after Bayern went through, at this stage last year, if I told you that, hey, look, Inter going to be in the final, you know, you would have laughed so hard, you would have fallen off your chair. Arsenal are a much, much better side. And, you know, looking at these odds, this seems reasonable. I might have Real Madrid ahead of them because I do think experience is a thing. But to be honest, I think they're in that group with those four sides you see on the left-hand side and Barcelona and probably Paris Saint-Germain as well.
Of course,
I don't see why not. Yeah.
Big names, aren't they? But not big performances.
No, and look, things may change in the coming weeks. But we saw City at the weekend being rattled by a changed Liverpool side. Mm. Certainly not a full-strength Liverpool side. And they were, you know, at times hanging on and they were rattled. And you can get at them. And the same with Bayern Munich. They won 8-1 at the weekend against Mainz. But we know they haven't been playing great this season. We know Real Madrid are getting results in the top of La Liga, but a lot of games have been a struggle. Now, they can turn it on in a heartbeat, Real Madrid. And Inter are strong, but they've got this huge game against Atleti tomorrow, which is close. It wasn't close in the first leg. It was close in terms of the result. It wasn't close in terms of the performance. It should have been dead and buried, but it's not, and that leaves it open to Atleti coming back in. But if you were Arsenal, nobody's going to stand up and say, OK, here it is. Yeah. But looking at the other teams, if Arsenal play at the top of their game, they're going to be at least extremely competitive against those sides, as Gab said, on that sort of favourite side of the list. So they should not fear anybody.
The common factor between those teams that you just mentioned is these are teams that will attack Arsenal, that are expected to carry the game, to carry the responsibility of the game. And I think that suits Arsenal a little bit better than playing against a team like Porto that sort of fell into the trap of slowing down the game. If you get in a back and forth with Real Madrid, yeah, you're going to take some chances because Vini Jr. will go on the counter and can hurt you. But guess what? You can hurt their back line too because Real Madrid is willing to commit numbers four. And the same thing with Manchester City and the same thing certainly with Bayern Munich, who struggle in transition moments defensively. And so I think those are matchups that I wouldn't say favor Arsenal, but you can see a pathway by which Arsenal can take advantage of some of the frailties defensively of some of these big teams. I think they'd be uncomfortable playing against a team like Atletico Madrid, for example. That's the sort of challenge that it would be harder for them to figure out than the straight-up matchup against a team that they're very familiar with, like Manchester City.
Go on, Gab.
No, I just want to say, I think one of the keys between now and the end of the season, if Arsenal are going to win it, is assuming they stay in this three-way title race, I think he's got to get more out of his bench. Obviously, some of his injured players, like Thomas Partey, for example, are back. Gabriel Jesus recently returned because it does put a tremendous onus on you. And injuries do happen. We saw what Saliba's injury did to them last season. You know, he's found a comfortable lineup that's yielding results, but those guys aren't always going to be there. So I think it's going to be critical that he weaves his players in, he can get some rotation in there, and he gives himself some more options between now and the end of the campaign.
That's it now for Arsenal until the 31st of March. Of course, their players will go off on international duty. They're not involved with the FA Cup this weekend. Just a reminder, you can see those four quarterfinal ties live on ESPN Plus on Saturday. Wolves against Coventry, followed by Manchester City against Newcastle. And on Sunday, Chelsea, Leicester, and then the big one at Old Trafford, Manchester United against Liverpool. As always, plenty of reaction to all the football that we've seen over the last few days over on our YouTube channel. Be sure to go to ESPN FC and subscribe.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. It was finally poised, wasn't it, after the first leg between Barca and Napoli 1-1 in Italy. In the end, at Montjuic, Barcelona would go through within the 90 minutes, winning 4-2 on aggregate, 3-1 on the night. Now we'd see Barca go 2-0 up, Napoli would get one back. They then have a big, big chance late on. They couldn't take theirs, Lewandowski scores his, and it's Barca who are through to the quarterfinals. Overall, Craig, Barca deserved it, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, I think they played, they were the better side in Naples. Obviously, Napoli, they just literally just changed the manager. So he's had some time and there's been an improvement in them since then. With Barcelona, it's always about this season anyway, it's about the defence. You know, and just and Napoli did, even after they went 3-1 up, Barca, they clipped the post at least once. And you saw that Lindstrom header, there were other chances. But over the two games, I think it's probably the some of the best football we've seen Barca play offensively this season. And we watch them every week covering La Liga. They've been pretty poor. Yeah. They've been pretty pedestrian. Their football's been slow. And, you know, they've struggled to break teams down. This was a more open game, and I think that helped them a little bit. Now, defensively, I think ultimately in this competition, somebody's going to take them apart. But over the two legs, I think their football stepped up, and I think they just deserve to go through. But Napoli on the night did give them a headache.
What we saw today from Barcelona, which we haven't always seen this season offensively, is variety in the attack. In the first goal, the position that Rafinha takes, as Cancelo goes out wide, Rafinha, instead of going wide himself, no, he takes the inside channel, which then forces the defender. As Cancelo gets the ball, the defender gets out there, now Rafinha runs behind the defender. He then cuts the ball back, and Lewandowski, who is the one that appears usually in the 18-yard box, understands that there's a player behind him in a better position. So I'm just going to let it go. You go ahead, Fermín López. A second-line attacker finishing the chance. Doesn't always happen from Barcelona. Why do I say variety? Because the second goal comes from a counterattack. Yes, a counterattack from Barcelona with speed. Here we go. We got an opportunity. Change of pace from Lamine Yamal. Let's get forward. Let's find the chance. 1v1 situation from Rafinha. He takes the defender on, hits it off the post, and Cancelo, who's not interested in defending whatsoever, the effort that he puts forth in order to get on the end of the rebound does not compare to the effort that he doesn't put defensively. However, regardless, he knows that there's going to be an opportunity, reads it, jumps on it, scores a goal. That variety of attack, 1v1 situations on Lamine Yamal all night long, who had Mario Rui running all over the place. Fermín López running in behind from a midfield line. He had a chance as well when he gets in behind. That variety of attack hasn't always been present for Barcelona this year, certainly.
How will Napoli take this, Gab?
Look, I think they've been through so much. I mean, this is Chicho Calzone is their fourth manager in, what, the last 9 months? I mean, it's pretty crazy. When you think where this team were, in fact, I've got a column coming out on, you know, how to destroy a successful club by A. De Laurentiis, the Napoli president. On the night, I feel like they did what they could. They're up against a more talented team, albeit one that, you know, that had some big pieces missing in Pedri, Gavi, and De Jong. And I think they're going to rue that. They're going to rue the missed Lindstrom header. They're going to complain about there was Kubasti, who I thought was phenomenal, maybe except for the one moment that let him down on Osimhen. Different referee, different situation. You know, that could have been a penalty. But, you know, I think they're going to just accept the fact that, hey, we lost to a team that's better than us, that are higher up in the table in their own league than we are. And it's there for a reason. And they're not coming from, you know, the 6 months of chaos and cluster mess, which has been Napoli's season so far.
But you think when you're playing teenagers at centre-half and you're playing Christensen in midfield and you have all these vulnerabilities, Barca that is, you just feel that although Napoli are having a pretty dreadful season by the standards, obviously, of last year, you just felt that there was more to come. And you saw what they were trying to do early, particularly in the first half. It was trying to spin Osimhen in behind to upset that high Barcelona line. And he got in time and time again. Unfortunately, he'd either timed his run wrongly, or the ball was just delivered too late from Nguessa, whoever it was, which I think happened in one team on the right. But had they done that, had they got that right, it might have been a different story. And it was there because Barca was squeezing and squeezing and squeezing, and he was playing on the shoulder all the time. They just couldn't get it right. They couldn't get it right. And those were the small details that let Barcelona off the hook, and they paid the ultimate price for it. But I don't think Barca will go we're going to wait in the draw, see what happens tomorrow when the draw comes out. They're in the quarterfinals. Maybe there's going to be some huge uptick in their season. But I just feel, even looking at the chances that a struggling Napoli created against them, and we've seen it all season.
Yep.
Whether it be, was it Villarreal scored five?
Yes.
There's been a bundle of teams have gone there to the Montjuic and either scored goals or created bundles of chances. So unless things change, when they put one of the big boys, it's going to be curtains for them.
What's interesting is you've got two managers now in the quarterfinals who are leaving because they've been rubbish, basically, this season. So let me put this to you.
And Tuchel?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Bayern Barca? What if we have that?
Who leaves first?
Who's through in the quarterfinal of those two faces?
You can make a very strong argument against both teams.
Yeah.
Not necessarily.
Both defensively,
yes,
isn't it?
Not for both teams, but against both teams. Look, you talk about the disappointment for Napoli today. Look at the midfield that you were playing against. It's Christensen, Gundogan, Fermin Lopez. Yeah. Christensen is not a central midfielder. He's just doing a job. Gundogan has to cover defensively, and so that gives all the responsibility offensive to Fermin Lopez to join in the attack, which he did. It scores a goal, does well. But if you're that midfield three for Napoli, you're saying, come on. I wouldn't say a layup, but this is certainly an opportunity. But then you look at the midfield in Napoli and you go, Lobotka, Anguissa, and Traore. Well, there isn't a whole lot of creativity there. That's not the case when you play against better teams. But in the case of Bayern Munich, you can also say that their midfield is nonsense. You know who says their midfield is nonsense?
Tuchel.
Thomas Tuchel says their midfield is worthless. Well, so there you go. That's why you can make arguments for against both. I don't know that you can make an argument for either one of them, because you can say, well, they have a young, exciting player, Lamine Yamal, Jamal Musiala. Yeah. They have a goal scorer, Harry Kane, Robert Lewandowski. Defensively, they're shockingly bad at times. Yes, both of them are. And through the midfield, they have struggles, and a coach is on the way out. So there's a lot of similarities here. I don't know that you can actually say, yeah, Barcelona have a really good chance, or Bayern Munich have a really good chance. They have a really good chance of blowing it, both of them do.
Actually, I want to see that game, though. It's sort of perverse. Who's going to get sacked first? Football sort of
balance. PSG are going to play Real Madrid because of Mbappe.
He's going to mail it in because he doesn't want to... Because he's already upset Florentino Perez a couple of years ago by giving him a custard pie. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't even know what I was going to say.
Be part of Gav. Be part of your dream draw, Gav. Your trademark dream draw.
Without question, I want to see Barcelona against Bayern. And by the way, to go back to Ali's point about the lack of creativity in Napoli and their kind of self-destruction, Napoli's most creative midfielder is, for me, Piotr Zielinski, and who was a big part of their season last year. Well, guess what? He wasn't in play in this game because he's not eligible, because he didn't put him on the squad list in January. And the reason he put him on the squad list is because he didn't extend his contract. So when you talk about clubs making stupid decisions, whether they're petty or vindictive or they're being clever, well, there you have it.
It's a big week, of course, for Barcelona, as it is Atletico Madrid. Those two teams face off on Sunday in our feature game in La Liga. You can see it live and exclusive on ESPN+. Our coverage will start at 3:30 Eastern from the Metropolitano.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Right then, here we go. All to play for going into the second leg in the Spanish capital. Inter, big favourites. To advance, they take that 1-0 lead from the first leg. Going into this second leg in Spain. Ooh, Craig. This is interesting.
Well, it is. It shouldn't be. If Inter had taken the chances after a dominating performance. I fancy Inter. Although, being at home, I think a lot of it's going to come down to what's Simeone's message, how are they going to approach it, what's his selection process in terms of the wing-backs he selects and the middle of the park and even maybe the centre-halves. But what I saw in the first leg is saying to me that this Inter side are just going to be too cute on the night and they're going to create chances. If they're pushed back, they're going to be clever about it, they're going to hit on the counter and they're going to be able to create chances because they certainly created enough in the first leg. Now, can Atleti win this game?
Well, you look at their record at home this season. Well, this is what we've seen in La Liga.
Yes, so they can win this game, but it depends what the sort of mentality is, whether they're going to be a bit coy about it early or they give... it's difficult one to call how they're going to approach it because Atleti have never been a side under Simeone that go, right, let's panic from the off, let's go out and just go for it. They're not. I don't think they're going to do that. But this Inter side, to me, will create enough chances away from home, I think, to cause problems for Atletico Madrid.
Yeah, we saw Atleti in the cup, didn't we? And Atleti Bilbao beat them comfortably over those two legs. That would be something, obviously, Inter will take going forward.
There's got to be a shift in the rhetoric and the messaging from Diego Simeone from what he said, or essentially was gesturing during the first leg in which was damage control, was asking his players, when they're losing 1-0, he was asking his players to slow it down. He knew it was damage control. Now, there's got to be a shift. And so what we have seen from Simeone and Atletico Madrid this season, there's got to be a different speech. The speech that he usually has for pregame, that one, get rid of it.
Yeah.
And use the one that, particularly when they go down in the first half, the one that you give at halftime. Because what we see from Atletico Madrid is they get in trouble, now they're trailing in matches, and somehow, magically, they come out of the locker room for the second half and they're running around and they're creating pressure and creating chances and coming back in games. Well, skip all of that. Skip the 45 minutes of nonsense and come out with that sort of attitude.
And Griezmann's back, obviously.
Griezmann is back, which gives this team a different type of personality. You rested players on the weekend. Yeah, they played, but at 45 minutes, you took them off because you say, well, I got to have these guys fresh. You sacrificed the result this weekend because you were not all that great against Cadiz. Okay, now you're all set up for at-home performance, which is what has been the best of Atletico Madrid. At-home performance. And when they're at their best at home, there is energy, there is intensity, there is passion. They got to bring all of that, of course, that's a given. But then you have to bring quality in the attack, creativity in the attack. And defensively, you can be making this sort of mistake. Diego Simeone knows that this is a make-or-break sort of match for him this season. There's nothing else to play for if you are Atletico Madrid. Nothing else to play for. Champions League, that's it, and that's all. Put it all out on the field for 90 minutes. I think Atletico Madrid are good enough to do it, but the attitude, the intensity, the energy has to be there, and the quality has to be there as well.
Well, Griezmann's back, but he was playing in the San Siro.
Yeah, that's very well, apparently.
He was there.
And he didn't get a kick.
Yeah.
That particular evening.
Inter, big favourites, of course. It's been a great season domestically for them, Gab. This, as they're looking to get back to another Champions League final.
Yeah, and, they're kind of in an opposite situation because they have a million-point lead in Serie A. Simone Inzaghi, it's interesting hearing Ali talk about Simeone because Simone Inzaghi has, like, the opposite approach. It feels as if everything they do is kind of very deliberate, one step at a time. I'm going to use my entire squad. I'm going to use my five substitutes. I'm going to have programmed substitutions at the 60-minute mark. We saw that again at the weekend. It's not just Lautaro being rested and players coming off. They played until that goal. That goal was by Bisek was like in the 32nd minute, and they didn't have a shot on goal, let alone on target, after that the rest of the way. They're like, okay, we did our bit. Now let's focus ahead to Atletico. So I think that's very indicative of how he's meticulous, how he plans everything. Now, is that going to, you know, is, to paraphrase Mike Tyson, everybody's a plan until you get punched in the face. And Diego Simeone loves punching people in the face, you know, metaphorically, of course, maybe literally too. So who knows what could happen early on in this game too. But certainly, you know, Inzaghi's been proven right so far.
What's your prediction, Guy?
I think Inter goes through. I mean, however nervy you are about the one, you know, the fact that they've won every game but one in La Liga, you know, I can't escape the fact that you saw them play at the weekend against a team that hadn't won a game since September 1st in Cadiz, and they lost, and they looked limp, and they didn't look up for it. And, you know, and I appreciate what you say, this is all they have left to play for. I'd suggest, you know, Bilbao are just 2 points behind Atletico in La Liga. They could have, you know, top four to play for as well, if they're not careful. So, all this said, I think Inter are going to go through. I can imagine, you know, maybe it's going to be an extra time, but I imagine Inter getting a draw.
Oh, no, we do hope not.
More extra time.
Oh, we don't. We nobody's wishing for extra time here.
If not in that game, maybe the other tie. Of course, one remaining, and that will see Borussia Dortmund take on PSV. 1-1 was the score in the first leg. Of course, PSV getting that equaliser because that dodgy penalty. Well, it's not as close.
Do you know what I'm hoping for in this one?
What do you hope?
90 minutes?
No, I'm hoping the TV's not working again.
Well, there you go.
All right, okay.
According to ESPN Bet, Dortmund are the favourites to advance. PSV at 5-4. Dortmund are certainly nowhere near the same beast that they have been in the past, Ali. But you just feel, from the quality that we saw them show in the first leg, this should be enough to see them through.
They should. And it should be a team that at home should, at the very least, create enough opportunities to win the match against PSV. And I know that PSV have been very good in Eredivisie, but quite frankly, the talent level and the difference in talent level, certainly in the attacking half between one team and the other, I think is noticeable. Daniel Malen, former PSV player, by the way, has been really good for Borussia Dortmund. Score over the weekend against Werder Bremen. Jadon Sancho scored over the weekend against Werder Bremen. You find in Borussia Dortmund a team that you are careful when you need to trust this group, because they are usually going to let you down if you expect a whole lot from them. So I'm going to make that mistake. I'm going to expect Borussia Dortmund to play well, to be dominant, to win the game, to score goals and create problems for PSV defensively. I think they'll be too good on the night for PSV. The individual talent that they have in the attack, good 1v1 players, a presence inside the 10-yard box with Niklas Füllkrug. Defensively, they have their issues, but I don't think PSV threatens them as much as some other teams would in, that are left in this competition. I'm taking Borussia Dortmund.
But PSV are America's team now.
Are they?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, because of all the internationals that play for.
Oh, God, I hope they get beat.
Right.
I really couldn't give a stuff who plays for them. But, you know, they feel...
this was Serginho Dest, wasn't it?
Listen, I'll be honest, I don't care.
Right?
Really?
I don't care. Honestly, what the hell's this got to do with the price of bread?
What? Because people are excited.
What's this got to do with what day of the week it is? Spare me the details. Have I upset my American friends? I do hope so.
Didn't you have any friends?
I don't. I don't have any American friends. And I'm okay with that. It's okay with me. Very thin-skinned, our football fraternity over here. But they've got a... I don't care about the Dutch league. They've got this. Right, good. They're feeling aggrieved, aren't they, Dortmund? Because they had the Hummels penalty that he gave away. That we do. Gab was on that night. We discussed it.
Yes.
And how the referee didn't go to the monitor. And, you know, he clearly played the ball. So there is an element of they do feel aggrieved about the result in Eindhoven. But as Ali said, do you trust Dortmund? I mean, it's amazing they won the... They were top of the group.
Yes.
I mean, Newcastle looked like they were flying. There was PSG in there.
Yeah.
And Dortmund finished top of the group.
So, definitely. So, Champions League, they've been good.
Champions League, they have been pretty good.
Yeah, as you say, it was this penalty that obviously gets PSV that hope going.
Have I got time to make up friends here with... oh, God.
By the way, that foul was an American international, Malik Tillman.
Is that an American? Yeah. Oh, I can't trust these Americans. Just can't trust them.
Gab, who's going through?
You know, it's funny. I think PSV Eindhoven are a better team. And I hate to say this because it's a Peter Bosch team, but that said, Dortmund match up really, really well against them because they can hit you on the break with the fleet-footed Malen and Adeyemi and so on. And I watched Borussia Dortmund at the San Siro earlier this year. Everything was going Milan's way. And then, you know, you look up and they scored 3 goals and they won 3-1. And I could see a game like this happening. So I'm going to say Borussia Dortmund, but I don't think it's going to be pretty. I think we're going to see Keystone Cops defending again. And what cannot happen is veterans making stupid, stupid mistakes, like we saw at the weekend with Marcel Sabitzer getting himself sent off, because PSV Eindhoven will punish that.
You two are guilty by association, by the way.
Well,
because I'm playing the nasty man about the anti-American side of things.
Borussia Dortmund used to be America's team.
Can I move on?
I'm going to move on. Gio Reyna,
coming over here and
speaking of our American
slighting
friends,
our American
football
players.
Football Americas will have some special Gio!
Reasons.
Well, that's good news, because they won't be talking to me again. That's the best news I've had.
Be sure to check that out on Thursday when it drops.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Meanwhile, Manchester United are taking on Real Betis in a summer friendly. Wait, I've got to say something about tickets. Stay with me. Right, where is it? It's an email here somewhere. Oh, here we go. Pre-sale for tickets opens Wednesday, March the 13th at 10 a.m. Register now for pre-sale and early access to tickets. Tickets for the general public will go on sale on Ticketmaster on Thursday, March the 14th. There we go. Seamless. That's tomorrow. Wednesday, obviously, get the tickets tomorrow, pre-register, then Thursday they're available.
Who buys tickets for a game on July 31st?
Excited people to see Manchester United against Real Betis.
Not me.
You wouldn't buy a ticket if it was tomorrow.
Correct.
Goodbye.
What?
Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you as always for your questions. Gab Marcotti is here, joined by Craig Burley and Ali Moreno. Let's start off with the first question. I don't have them. Do we have them anywhere?
Just put it up on the screen. Okay. I've always said this. It's not rocket science.
Well, I know, but it means it flows better.
Well, it's not flowing very freaking well, is it?
You're talking. What is the difference between Arsenal in the Premier League and Arsenal playing in the Champions League? Seems like two different performances each time. Gab?
Well, I think the boys in the studio answered this. They're playing different teams. They're not. Sheffield United do not play in the Champions League. Brentford do not play in the Champions League. Porto are a grown-up side, and that creates problems for you, especially when, you know, Raya makes a mistake at the end of the first game and you're a goal down. I mean, I think it's a good team. Porto are a team that are not, as I said, they're not having a good season, but prepared really well for this game and have some very good players.
Craig, you're usually edgy, right? But today you seem a little more. Right?
Do you know what gets my goat?
All right.
They say, here's like lots of things get my goat out.
Okay, there you go.
I'll be honest with you. We then started late. We could just keep going now. We've only got 3 more questions, and then we get to go home.
We started late.
Kabasi was named the man of the match.
And then American footballers playing, like I give a stuff, was mentioned. Because I don't care where you come from. I'm covering the game. I don't care if you're American, Scottish, German, French, Italian, whatever it is.
Oh.
So, you know, when all they say this, well, this is an American player, I don't care.
Kabasi
was you're upset by that, that's fine. I ain't coming here. You may have noticed I haven't landed on these shows to pander to anybody.
No, or make friends.
No, I don't want to make friends. I've always said this. I have friends.
Really?
I didn't come here to make friends.
Really?
I have friends.
Kabasi, named man of the match. What were you doing, Ali, when you were 17?
Well, I was the man of the match for a game, but not in Champions League level.
We were in high school. Which high school were we in?
Colegio San Ignacio de Loyola.
Oh, my lord.
Caracas, Venezuela.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. There you are.
Dominating.
Now, you left home at 16, so you were in Chelsea's...
I was playing for... Yeah, I was man of the match in the Southeast Counties. Chelsea under-18s.
Perfect.
Against Crystal Palace, whatever we were playing. But, he's...
He's come in, done really well, Kabasi.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I think I saw him play at left back one night as well, or left side centre back. Might have been in against Athletic Club. I can't remember, but whatever. He just looks a strong young boy as well. You know, I was looking at him today, and he's got, you know, he's not thin. He's got, looks as if he's been on the weights a little bit. He's good strength. Obviously, he's a centre half, so he needs some. But to do it at that age, at that level, you know, I said it on yesterday's show. These youngsters are just ready quicker. We were like that, but if they said to us you're playing at 16 in the Champions League, you'd have been hiding. you'd have made your mum and dad send a sick note in. Dear Mr. Xavi, my son is unavailable tonight because he's absolutely...
He has the sniffles.
He's breaking it.
But I would say this about QRC. What's most impressive is his decision-making.
Right.
Which we have seen from far more experienced players alongside him, Jules Koundé.
Certainly Barcelona this season,
Ronald Araujo. Some of their decision-making has been strange at best. QRC, very clean with the decision and very clean with his passing out of the back, which is important for Barcelona. You want to pass that ball out of the back. You want to find that outlet. Ronald Araujo is not as good doing that, but QRC seems to be a guy that can pass, that can find the short pass, but can also find the long switch, and he's doing that consistently.
What was 17-year-old Gab Marcotti doing?
I don't think I was ever man of the match. I did hit the woodwork three times off of corner kicks in a single game, which we then lost. So, yes. And given, I think I scored one goal in my entire high school career, that was pretty soul destroying, but thank you. But by the way, Ali, if I can correct you about the Barcelona center backs, the pronunciation of his name, it's not Cubarsí, it's Cubaresi when he plays like this.
First of all, if it was Cubaresi, he would play with his socks down below his knees.
Oh my goodness.
I tell you what, you've got an apology to make.
To who?
Moi.
Why? Oh.
You belittled me yesterday.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
You felt bullied?
No, I don't feel bullied. You can bully me all you want. I don't care. You belittled me when I came on this show.
Right.
I slammed the table and I demanded the TVs were fixed.
Right.
What happened today?
TVs were fixed.
There you go.
No. Oh, because of you and your little tantrum. Well,
why do you think it is?
Oh, that's what it was.
Why do you think it is? Somebody sat up and went, wow, we better take...
Oh, yeah, look, Craig's punching table. That really makes a difference.
Have you seen the FC show tonight?
Craig's very angry. Yeah. Where were you in high school, Gab? Which country were you in?
I was here in London. I was here at the American School in London. But Dan, since the TVs are fixed, to get even with Craig, maybe you could roll some more Serginho Dest highlights.
On a loop. Serginho Dest best pass.
I don't think there's anything.
Why'd you have to bring that up, Gab? I want to go home.
I don't think there's anything that makes me angrier, really. Well, there is.
Something to make angry, Craig Burley. Ron, with another Cubarsí question. Do you see him becoming a Barcelona captain like Puyol?
Well, it's we're very early on in his Barcelona career, but seems to have the profile. Let's just say that.
It's no pressure.
Yes, there's a profile of that, but we're too early to be having that conversation.
Should Victor Osimhen
wait for those old-timers, Gavi and Pedri, to retire?
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, then that's that. Should Victor Osimhen still be a target this summer for big clubs in need of a centre-forward, Gab?
Why? Because he had a poor game against Barcelona? So all of a sudden, like, he's rubbish.
Napoli
would love that. You know, come on. Of course, yes.
Is he going to go to PSG, Gab?
I don't think so. I mean, anything can happen. It's early in the transfer window, but I'm not sure he'd be. I mean, he's a great player. He can play anywhere. I don't think he'd be an obvious fit for what Luis Enrique is trying to do. But the guy is so athletic. He's so smart. He's physical. And he has that superhero mask that he wears. So,
yes,
I mean,
true.
What more do you want from a centre forward?
I'd say he's a good fit for what Ten Hag's trying to do, if any of us ever knew what the hell Ten Hag is trying to do.
Turn this anti-Manchester United. Wow. Turn that on as well.
Wow.
Upset everyone.
Wow.
Took a wild turn, that one.
Yeah.
What? Anyone else?
If you want.
That's it. We are done. Thank you very much. We'll be back tomorrow to reflect on PSV against the Borussia Dortmund. Of course, PSV very much America's team these days. Also,
give me some. Who is it? PSV.
PSV. Yes.
Oh, love me a bit.
And of course, elsewhere it is Inter against Atleti.